Well, good afternoon to you all. It's good to see everybody here. I want to lay a question before you that we're going to consider this afternoon. And I would imagine it's a question that most people have probably asked themselves at one point in their life. And it's simply this: does God care what happens to me? Does God care what happens to me? There are lots of things that go on in this world that we can't quite understand why they happen. And we can look at the news on a daily basis and we can see things like the wars that are happening in Syria and Iran and Afghanistan and all these different places. And we can see the suffering that goes on there. And we know that there are people there who are suffering greatly. And we think, well, what, does God actually care what's happening there? We can think about the famines that are happening. We can think about the natural disasters that are happening. The people who have been left without homes, without possessions, without loved ones. We can think of all the corruption that's going on in the world. And we can look around our own country and we can look around other countries and we can see these things. And we have to ask ourselves the question, does God care? We can look at our own lives, can't we? And we can see the difficulties that we have in our own lives. Now, it could be employment problems. We've just come out of a recession. There are lots of people who are struggling just now, lots of people who are in difficulty, lots of people who have lost their livelihoods through probably no fault of their own. And we think, does God care? We could think of those who have got health problems, those who are facing difficulty at this time, facing uncertainty, and they don't know where things are going. We can look at relationships in our families and the people that we know. We can see things that are, lives that are being broken down, children that are being affected, parents that are being affected. And we have to ask ourselves, God, does God care? Now, if you're here this afternoon and you have no belief in God, then maybe you just think to yourself, this is all just random chance. It's just the way the dice have rolled. It's the way your lot has come up and there's nothing that you can do about it. That's just the way things happen. That's just life. Well, I highly suspect that if you're here this afternoon, you have more than a passing interest in a belief that there is a God, a belief that there is a God of this universe that is in control of all these things. But I suspect that even those with the strongest of faith sometimes doubt, sometimes have a bit of difficulty, sometimes have a problem knowing whether to keep trusting or just find it difficult just to keep on placing their trust in the Lord day after day. And the passage that we're going to look at this afternoon, this is what happens to the disciples. Now the disciples, probably more than anybody else, you could say that they had no cause to doubt the Lord Jesus. They had no cause to doubt God. They had no cause to doubt the power that he had, the ability that he had to see them safely through. And yet the disciples in this passage display that trait. And they probably had more cause than anybody else to have their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And yet we know at the end, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples are put to the test, that they all flee. They all desert the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to look at this passage this afternoon. We're just going to consider, just for a short time, does God care? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 35. And it says this, Mark 5, 35. On that day, when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowds, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And there's our question that we're considering this afternoon. Do you not care? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now we'll ask God to add his blessing to the reading of his word. This is a great passage in the Bible. It's a passage where you can see both the humanity of the Lord Jesus and the godliness of the Lord Jesus. The fact that he was both man and God in the same breath, I suppose you could put it. Now, Jesus had been teaching all day. In fact, the crowd had been so large, he had had so many people to talk to, he'd actually had to step off the beach into the boat. So he was actually talking from the boat at this point. And one of the other Gospels tells us that. And he was tired. And we understand that because he went to sleep. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat. When I used to go on my holidays to Sandhead, which is a little village just down outside Stranraer, down in the southwest of Scotland, very often we would go across to Ireland for the day. Loved it. We went on the ferry, we went on the Sea Cap, we went on the one that came after the Sea Cap, the HSS, the big fast ship. And we used to go across to Ireland, we used to do a wee tour of Ireland. We used to go to the Giant's Causeway and different things like that. And I loved it. But one thing I didn't like was finding your sea legs. Now, I could be a bit unsteady on my feet at the best of times, but having to cope with the sea at the same time, moving all these different ways, it takes a bit of getting used to. I can tell you one thing, it wouldn't put me to sleep. In fact, it probably kept me awake, if anything else. And yet we find the Lord Jesus has fallen asleep in the stern of the boat. In fact, we find that he's not even just tired, we find that he's exhausted. Because even when the storm comes, even when the wind and the waves start to clam around about, and even when the disciples will start to do things round about him, we find that he stays asleep. He's still tired, still exhausted. I would imagine the same thing applied to the disciples. They would be exhausted as well, be tired and not knowing what to do. Do you ever feel that the bad times come when you're the most tired? The bad times in your life come when you're absolutely exhausted. I find that sometimes. And sometimes it's just a way of perceiving things. But sometimes the good times in life come and a problem comes and it's easier to deal with these things. But sometimes we're really just exhausted and we don't know which way to turn. And the Lord Jesus here steps off the boat and he tells the disciples, let's go across to the other side. Let's go away and let's just get that wee bit of recuperation. It's important to take a rest sometimes. It's important to take a rest sometimes. To recharge not only our spiritual batteries, but our physical batteries as well. I've probably said this before from the platform here, that one of my favourite characters in the Bible is Elijah. Brilliant, brilliant character. A character that goes to the very heights and goes to the very depths of human emotions, all within the space of a couple of chapters, it would seem. He goes through some really, really difficult times. And one of the great passages in the Bible is just after that, just after Elijah has dealt with the prophets of Baal, he's called down fire from heaven that's consumed the burnt offering, and he's dealt with all these things, and then Jezebel comes after him, and he flees. And he goes right down to the depths of human misery, it would seem. He says, it's too much. And yet the Lord comes and he says, take a rest. Take some food. Just calm down. The journey's too much for you just now. You just need to recuperate just that wee bit more. So the storm comes quickly to the disciples and catches them by surprise. They were maybe on a high here. They'd maybe seen all these crowds coming, maybe seen all these people talking to Lord Jesus, all these people who are putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, perhaps. And then this comes, the storm comes. And it's sometimes when we think that everything is going well, that things just come out of the blue and start to crash down about us. And we have to ask ourselves, why do these things happen? Why do these difficulties come? Just when we think that everything's going well, why do these things happen? Well, we find that the disciples would probably start to try and do something themselves. Now, we don't know what disciples were here. But I would guess possibly Peter, possibly James, possibly John, maybe Andrew. Four experienced fishermen, I would wager, would possibly be there on the boat at the time. And they probably been in these kind of storms before. They'd probably experienced them before. They were regular occurrences. It wasn't as if they'd never happened before. They're regular occurrences in the Sea of Galilee. But we find that they couldn't do anything. Sometimes we rely on our own experiences, don't we? We rely on our own strength to do something. And we get into a situation where no matter what we try to do, it just doesn't make any difference. And here we find the disciples relying on their own abilities and probably couldn't get anything to happen. I don't know what size the boat would have been. It would probably have been a big boat, I would have thought. Fairly decent sized. If it was a fishing boat, you know, it would be fairly decent sized to keep all the fish and all the fishermen that were there as well. It would have been a fairly sturdy boat, I would have thought. And yet, we find that the situation is dire. The situation is very serious. And we find that their possessions, the things that they have, the things that they hold dear to themselves are absolutely useless when this storm comes. So their possessions, their own experiences are all useless in this storm. Nothing's going to happen. I thought it was interesting the type of people that were going through the difficulties at this time. There would have been a lot of people round about Jesus at that time who opposed him. He said some pretty unappealing things to some people. Truths. But things that people find hard to swallow. And yet, in this situation, we find it's not those people who opposed Jesus, not those people who wanted to see him dead, not those people who would later want him crucified. But it was perhaps his closest friends that were going through this difficulty. It wasn't people that didn't know him. It wasn't people that took no interest in him. It wasn't people who were away from him at this time. It was his closest friends and allies that were going through it. Perhaps we look around sometimes and we think, why do good people suffer? Why do Christians go through difficult times? Why does God allow these difficult times in people's lives to go ahead when these are the people who seem to be walking as close to him as they can be, people who seem to be helping him in helping Lord Jesus or walking with him on a daily basis? Perhaps it's to prepare us for something greater. And in this passage, we find the disciples are going through a really difficult time, but in the future, these situations were going to be called to their memory as they were going to be called to defend the Lord Jesus Christ, to defend their faith, and these situations would turn the disciples from mice into men almost when you read the things that happened in the Acts of the Apostles and later on. Again, I'm going to use the example of Elijah. He is one of my favourite characters in the Bible. And Elijah went through some really, really difficult times. When Elijah comes onto the scene in the Bible, he appears in the king's chamber and he says, "There's not going to be any rain until I say so." That's not an easy thing to say to the king. And Elijah then finds that his life's under threat and he flees and he goes to the brook Kidron. And day after day, Elijah has to put his faith and trust in God as God feeds him, as the ravens bring him food, as he gets water from the brook. He's going through some pretty difficult times at this point. Pretty horrible times, not knowing what's going to happen. And every day, he'll look at that brook and he'll see that water going just that wee bit lower. There's no rain in the land. He's having to go through the difficult times as well. No rain in the land and the brook's getting lower and lower and lower. And perhaps he's thinking to himself, I wonder if God cares what happens to me. And yet God does care about every single one of us. And even though we go through these difficult times, even though the disciples were going to go through these difficult times, we find that there's a bigger plan here. There's a bigger thing going on. So Elijah goes to that brook Kidron and eventually it dries up and he moves on. And God doesn't take him to a hotel. He doesn't take him to a palace. He doesn't take him to a place where there's plenty. He takes him to a widow who is gathering a few sticks so that she might make a fire and make a bit of bread for her son and die. And you think to yourself, well, last thing that widow needs is another mouth to feed in the midst of all these things. And the place where he's going is right in the heart of the territory of where Jezebel was. He's sending him right into the heart of where the people are who are trying to get him. But every day, Elijah's having to build up that faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. These difficult times that he's having to go through, he's having to build up that faith and trust as he goes through, because he's going to be called on in the future to stand up and to do something amazing for God. And he's going to need to know that God's going to carry him through these difficult times. For those of you who were here a couple of months ago when Noel McMeekin was here, there was something he said that struck me at the time. If you're still here, God's still got a purpose for your life. And that kind of struck me at the time. I thought that's quite a humbling thing to do, humbling thing to say, humbling thing to realize that the reason that I'm still here is God still has a purpose for my life. And if when we look at the disciples in this situation, we realize that God has still a purpose for their life. God could easily have called down angels to take the Lord Jesus Christ away, save him or whatever else, and forget about these other people, but there was still a purpose for them. They were going to need to learn to trust in the Lord Jesus. But the situation is serious. They were in great danger. Every single one of us is in great danger. We are all headed for a lost eternity, an eternity in hell, because of our sins, because of the bad things that we've done. Simple as that. Or as complicated as that, I suppose you could say. And we're in dire need as well, just like these disciples are. Who do we go to in times of trouble? Who do we go to when the problem seems so severe? We've tried everything that we can, like the disciples have done. We've relied on all our own experiences, all our own intellect, all our own possessions, and still it's not enough. Who do we go to? Perhaps you're here today because you don't know where to turn. We find the disciples turn to the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus was an unusual choice by human standards to turn to. Fishermen turning to the carpenter for advice. Now, a carpenter's good probably for designing the boat and making the boat and putting the boat together, but up until the point that the boat goes into the water, after that point, you want somebody who's experienced in the sea. You want somebody who's experienced all these different things to guide that boat through the difficulties. And yet we find the fishermen going to the carpenter. But they go to the Lord Jesus. There must have been something special about this man. There was something special about this man, wasn't there? And the disciples later testify that there was something special. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they've tried everything they can. They come to the Lord Jesus and they say, "Do you not care that we're going to perish?" We're in a similar situation. We're headed for destruction. We are headed for a time of trouble, and we ask ourselves as well, does God not care? Is God not going to do anything? Well, he's already done it. Even before we were born, he had done something to help us. Before our fathers, before our forefathers were born, he had already done something for us. Right back at the beginning of time, with that very first sin, that very first act of disobedience of Adam taking of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, before the curse is pronounced, there's a promise made that one's going to come to set all things right. One's going to come and crush the head of the serpent. And we find the Lord Jesus coming down to this earth for a very specific reason, to save his people, save the people from their sins. The best known verse in the Bible. I perhaps only need to say that before you know which one I'm talking about. It's John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So we come back to our question, does God care what happens to us? Well, we find this verse has got the answer. For God so loved the world. He loves the world. He loves every single one of us. And he wants to save us from that destruction that is rightly ours. So what did he do? He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his only son to die on that cross. The very first act of sin was disobedience. And yet we find the Lord Jesus there in perfect obedience to what the Father wanted. Even knowing all things that would befall him, even knowing that he would go to the cross, to die on the cross for us, all the things he would go through, the torment, the torture, the crown of thorns, the beatings, the whippings, a perfect act of obedience. God gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to be like the disciples and turn to him and ask him for help. Now the disciples here turn to him and say, do you not care that we are perishing? And straight away Jesus wakes, he rebukes the wind and the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? The disciples would go through some pretty difficult times in their lives, go through some pretty difficult circumstances, times when their own lives would be threatened, times when they would have to stand up for what they believed. And we find that these circumstances are all taking them towards those situations. But for ourselves, heading towards that lost eternity, and we need to understand that we are heading to that lost eternity. We are heading to that time of destruction if we don't accept Christ as our Saviour, if we don't have our sins forgiven, if we don't turn to him. And we find here that Jesus calms the storms. Now, we know ourselves, don't we, that there are still storms in life. There are still difficult times, and even those of us who have a faith and knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ still go through some difficult times. Now, these disciples here perhaps thought that this situation in the boat was the most dangerous place to be ever in their lives. And yet, actually, with Jesus in the boat, it's one of the safest places ever. He was in control of all things. Might have appeared that he was sleeping, might have appeared that he wasn't aware, but he was in control of all these things. And having the Lord Jesus in our lives allows us that great calm. Even when the storms are raging, even when the difficult times are coming, we can still know that he is there and in control of all these things. So John chapter 3 and verse 16, just to finish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Shall we just close with a word of prayer?